It's a moose. Art by Aoma Saad for the Winter Natural Challenge 2023. Gift for Masuina. Story by Masuina. Rating is general audiences. Category is Gen. Fandom is supernatural. Relationship, Dean Winchester and Sam Winchester. Characters, Sam Winchester, Dean Winchester, Rowena McLeod. Additional tags, Moose Sam Winchester, Protective Dean Winchester, Hurt Sam Winchester, SPN Season 13, Canon Divergence, Hurt / Comfort, Fluff, Cute, Cuddling and Snuggling, Moose, Animal Transformation Spell, Witches, Wholesome, Snow, Bonker, Angst with a Happy Ending, Happy Ending, Gift Art, Art, Fan Art, Cover Art, Digital Art, Digital Painting, Winter Natural 2023, Winter Natural Challenge 2023, Supernatural and Supernatural RPF, Mistletoe Visual Only, Not for Kissing, No Romance, No Incest. Summary. A real, live moose in the bunker's library pulls Dean out of his sleep in the middle of the night, and he goes to explore trusty 1911 and knife in hand as he comes face to face with the massive wild animal, who looks to be injured. Meanwhile, Sam is nowhere to be found, and Dean questions his sanity because he must be seeing things. Notes from Masuina. In response to a prompt by Masuina in the Winter Natural 2023 collection. Prompt. Sam is transformed into a moose on Christmas Eve at the end of a successful but infuriating case with witches who specialize in animal power gathering and transformation. Dean is dealing with it, and Rowena comes around to help. I envision lots of cuddling until they can figure out how to turn him back. Perhaps he transformed while in the bunker? In a motel room? Canon, please. After the frustrating day of fighting, not one, not two, but three witches, Dean being temporarily love-hexed and attacked by a freaking hammer, the Winchester brothers are having a well-deserved beer in the bunker kitchen. Dean is angry at Sam for letting Rowena rip pages out of the grimoire, but Sam's subsequent explanation of how he himself feels powerless at times, much like Rowena facing Lucifer does, causes Dean's anger to simmer down. Heck, he can relate with every fiber of his being. Sam's eyebrows are bunched, face tight and pensive as he works hard to process all the events of the day without going down the rabbit hole of just how badly the cards are stacked against them right now. He tries hard to hold onto their lifelong fundamental belief to never give up and keep going no matter the odds. Dean, while very much aware that they do not have a plan or a solution to bring Mom back or locate Jack, does his big brotherly best to reassure Sam. They will figure it out in time, the two of them together. A little later, the same evening, Dean slowly limps to his room from the bunker's kitchen. His leg is pulsating with an unpleasant, but by no means unbearable ache by his standards. He sits down heavily on the bed in his room, Sam's words playing on repeat in his mind about how much his experience with Lucifer still weighs on him. Dean certainly knows the helplessness Sam alluded to when it comes to protecting his baby brother, because this is something he can't truly help or protect him from since it already happened. The saying that they will figure it out was as much for Dean's benefit as it was for Sam's. He slides off his boots and jeans, wincing when the rough fabric pulls across the tender skin on his right knee. The joint is not too swollen, and the kneecap feels unbroken and is in its proper place. It is, however, all shades of the rainbow, with vivid purples and blues around the point of impact. I fucking hate witches with hammers, he thinks to himself. He settles in with his noise-canceling headphones, needing to distract his own mind from ruminating about the day's events. His eyelids go heavy, and he turns over onto his stomach, hand under his pillow, headphones turning off automatically after 10 more minutes, as sleep takes over. A loud crash, followed by the blunt sound of items falling to the ground and the sound of glass breaking, rips him out of his slumber sometime later. He doesn't feel much better than when he went to sleep, and if the brain fog is anything to go by, he'd say that it hasn't been more than a few hours. The bunker isn't exactly different between day and night on account of the complete lack of windows and natural light. An animalistic grunt and groan dispel any notion of sleep for Dean, and he grabs the blade from underneath his pillow and his trusty pearl-handled 1911 from his nightstand. Safety undone, he stalks slowly down the hallway towards the source of the commotion. His knee throbs painfully as he goes, but it's overshadowed by the adrenaline pumping through him. He hears an almost pained croak and snort as he gets closer. The sound's not computing into anything in his mind, and he doesn't like that he has no idea what he's walking into. When he turns the corner from the bedroom hallway into the main room of the bunker, he still doesn't see anything. But based on the loud breathing and continued bellowing sounds he hears, he can pinpoint the thing's location to the library. He slowly walks along the outside wall, keeping his back protected as he moves closer to the large rectangular arch that leads into the library. Immediately to his right, past the doorway, he finds an honest-to-God moose. Antlers, brown fur and all. And it's a big one, too. It stands taller than Dean, is tall at its shoulder, and certainly weighs about 10 times as much as he does. The animal skitters away from him when it spots him, trying to put space between them.
Sam?
Dean yells as loud as he can, down the hallway he just came from. He needs his brother to see this, least of all to assure himself that he hasn't lost his marbles. Sam doesn't show, even after he calls him 3 times. Dean keeps both weapons trained on the large animal, trying to piece together what is going on here. The moose is pressing itself against the bookshelves in a different corner of the library. It is clearly afraid of Dean, which he figures is not a bad thing, given that the thing could trample him to death. He also notices a large bleeding gash on the animal's shoulder, and a glance behind him confirms that the moose must have smashed into one of the wall-mounted sconces that sit at just about that height. He can see slight bleeding on the antlers as well, where the soft velveteen coating is ripped and torn in some areas. Upon closer inspection, he also sees a shard of the sconce's lampshade stick painfully out of the continuously bleeding cut at its shoulder, matting the brown fur with blood. Dean steps closer, gun and knife still in hand. The sounds that come from the large animal sound like it is scared of him, and they sound pained. But then, how would he even know what a hurt and scared moose sounds like? It is at that point that he mentally slaps himself upside the head, slowly puts the gun safety back on, and sticks it in his waistband. He holds the knife up and places it on the library table as if showing the animal that he is disarming. Then, he truly takes a good look at the majestic animal in front of him. The fur is a rich dark brown, and the eyes, while he expected brown, were hazel. And if that wasn't enough proof that his brother was indeed standing in front of him in animal form, he didn't know what was. The moose seems to barely be able to keep standing. Its large legs look like they are about to give out, and surely having such a nasty injury isn't helping.
Sammy? Sam, if this is you in there, can you nod your head?
The large animal gazes at him, and the massive head moves up and down in a clear nod.
Okay, we'll figure this out, little brother. I'm going to get the first aid kit to patch you up. Over here. Come on. Why don't you lie down? That may be more comfortable. You look like you're about to collapse.
The animal gives a pitiful bellow, obviously trying to communicate something that Dean isn't getting.
Can I come closer and check you over for other injuries?
Another nod follows, and Dean moves in, green human eyes meeting large hazel ones while he assesses the antlers, shoulder, and the rest of the large animal's body. The fur is surprisingly soft to the touch, and the animal even smells like Sam, and isn't that an odd detail to notice about one's brother and never mention to anyone out loud, Dean thinks to himself. Other than the serious shoulder injury, he can't find any other issues.
Sammy, you look okay. There doesn't seem to be any other injury on you, other than your antlers and the shoulder here. Sam gave him a pitiful groan. Still, obviously, something was bothering him, but without speech, there was no way to communicate properly. Dean put his hand on Sam's furry neck and petted him there, much like how you would to soothe a dog or a cat. And didn't that feel amazing to Sam? Hang in there, Sam. I'll be right back with the first aid kit. One thing at a time. Medical care first, and we'll figure out the rest later. Sam watches Dean as he comes back to the library with their largest first aid kit in hand and walks back over to him. Sammy, you really should lie down. You are literally shaking on your legs. Dean thinks for a second that Sam actually tries to roll his eyes at him, which looks akin to a nondescript slight lift of the head in moose form, accompanied by more chuffs and quiet groans. Something occurs to Dean. While this is a first for both of them, neither had ever been transformed into animal form. Which is surprising, really, considering the number of beings they killed over the years that could have done that to them. What if Sam doesn't know how to lie down or how to control his body that way? Sam, do you know how to lie down in your, moose body? The shake of the head was immediate. Dean has an idea of how to deal with that later, but focuses on patching Sam up for the time being. He walks up to Sam and inspects the wound some more. It has stopped bleeding, but there are a number of tufts of fur missing where the light fixture scraped along the shoulder, and there is still a shard of glass embedded in his shoulder. Okay, big boy. Focus on staying upright. That's all you gotta do right now. This will hurt a bit, not gonna lie. He disinfects the wound by pouring antiseptic over the large surface and gets the suture kit readied with the needle threaded. He also brought safety scissors and painstakingly cuts away the fur and then shaves it down to the skin so that he has skin to sew back together, and he can actually apply a bandage there that will stick and keep the wound clean. The cut where the glass is sticking out of Sam is just about an inch and a half long and doesn't look like it would just heal up without stitches. The keening groans and soft bellows that emanate from Sam while he works tear at Dean's heartstrings, and he can hear his brother, even if they are animal sounds. He never did handle it well when his brother was hurting. By the time Dean is finished, Sam has a 4x4-inch square of shaved fur on his shoulder and a neatly stitched-up wound. Dean doesn't touch the antler injury. It doesn't seem life-threatening. Plus, with Sam standing up, he can't exactly reach that high. He notices that Sam's moose shoulder height is equal to a 6'4" human height. He makes a note to check on what the average size of a moose is when all this is over. Sammy, I need you to hang in there just a bit longer. I have an idea. I'll set up a, let's call it a moose nest over there. Dean gives Sam one of his cheeky grins that tells Sam he's proud of the solution he has come up with. His gaze follows where Dean is pointing. Dean motions towards the alcove not far from them with the two red upholstered chairs that have a large amount of space around them and a clear path to the library door. You gotta keep standing just a little while longer, and then I'll get you a cushy, soft landing pad, okay? Sam nods his head gratefully once more and keeps leaning heavily against the bookshelf-covered wall at his side. At least if his legs went out from under him, he'd land softly. As it were, his brain, decidedly still human, does not seem to be able to compute just how to fold all four legs down at the same time without belly flopping onto the hard wooden floors. Dean races down the hallway to Sam's room and pulls his mattress and one of the single mattresses from the infirmary and drags them into the library. He does another run and brings all the blankets he can get his hands on. His, Sam's, and the spare ones in the hallway linen closet to wrap them strategically around the two mattresses to turn them into an almost moose-sized mattress. Once that is done, he lays out the blankets in a nest-like shape that looks big enough for Sam in his current form and keeps a few blankets to the side. Come here, Sammy. This is ready to go. Sam gingerly walks on all fours, focusing hard on controlling his gait, his human brain working overtime to make the motion happen. All previous movements had been out of fear and instinct, but now that he isn't under threat or scared anymore, it all has become much more difficult. Sam barely makes it before collapsing sideways onto his uninjured side.
His legs go out from under him in a very uncoordinated fashion as he lands on the makeshift bed. His antlers connect with one of the fancy upholstered chairs, ripping the fabric in half and breaking the chair down the middle with the impact, a cloud of stuffing material floating up in the air.
Huh. Never liked those anyway.
Dean jests as he is over near Sam's head in a heartbeat, checking for injuries, and finds none. Sam manages to shimmy his large body onto the mattress proper and all but fills up the entire surface of it. While sleeping on the side may be natural for a human, the size of his antlers would not allow him to rest his head if lying on his side. With his hind legs curled close to his belly and staggered a bit while he settles his front legs underneath his massive chest, he lowers his head down in front of himself. Dean helpfully puts a triple pillow pile underneath Sam's snout, and Sam Moose lets out a contented snort as he relaxes into the nest Dean has built for him. He watches Dean lazily as the older hunter walks over to where Sam was when he found him, and beside Sam's favorite chair in the library, he not only finds the book Sam was reading, but also a purple hex bag.
"Damn you, Rowena," he growls under his breath as he stalks off to grab a lighter and the tweezers from the first aid kit.
There's no knowing if touching the bloody thing wouldn't end up turning him into a freaking squirrel after all. After carefully grabbing it with the tweezers, he tosses the thing into the kitchen sink and sets it aflame, lets it burn. Still watching the small flame, which was an unnatural purple shade, he dials Rowena's number, and she answers chirpily, as always.
"Did you find my present, Dean?"
"How long, Rowena?" "Found your damn hex bag. What did you do to Sam?"
"Call it a spirit animal spell. I really like you boys, but I don't appreciate you taking that book back every single time. So, I decided to have a little fun with you. That's all."
"How long?"
"If you burn the hex bag, he should be back to his delicious, tall human self in no more than 24 hours.
Dean hangs up on her immediately. On one hand, he is glad they are on her good side, for the time being. As much as he wants to kill the witch, she has come in handy on a couple of occasions. Sam seems to think there is something to her that warrants not ganking her on sight. Dean elects to trust his brother on it, at least for now. He goes back to the sink and checks on the hex bag, which is down to a small pile of black glowing embers with a lazy smoke rising from it. He carefully grabs it all with a bunch of paper towels and throws it in the trash. Time to go check on Sam again. He enters the library once more and walks over to Sam, whose eyes are closed. He seems to be soundly asleep. Dean can't help himself and lays the two blankets from his and Sam's bed across the large, soft, furry body and spreads them out to cover most of the moose. The pleased grunt escapes from Sam when he does that, and Dean chuckles at the absurdity of the situation. While he places a hand on Sam's head, he feels him push into it and imagines he's patting the crown of his head. The big hazel eyes open up into slits, and Dean explains to Sam what Rowena told him and that he should be back to normal in less than 24 hours. Sam's entire moose body relaxes at that and goes back to sleep. It is way past midnight now, and Dean can feel tiredness seeping into his bones.
"Good night, Sammy,"
he whispers as he makes to leave the library, but just as he is about to turn down the lights, he hears a sad little bellow and a moose giving the absolute best impression of puppy dog hazel eyes and stares up at him from the nest. It is fascinating and discombobulating in equal measure to see Sam's eye color around oblong pupils. Dean walks back to him because even without words, Sam's ask is crystal clear to him. "Don't leave me alone in this, please."
"Okay, Sammy, I'll stay with you."
Dean looks at the nest his brother has settled on, and there is some space around him now that he has compacted himself into a resting moose position. Dean has a healthy dose of respect for Sam's antlers, which are massive and look like a deadly instrument if whipped around at things. He realizes that going back to his bedroom would be futile anyway, as there would be no bedding to speak of. He eyeballs the remaining chair just behind Sam, but it looks supremely uncomfortable to sleep in. Sam's big head follows the direction of Dean's eyes
and he makes a chuffed sound and nods his soft-looking snout to the spot beside him on the nest.
Oh, you're a cuddly moose, aren't you?
Dean chuckles lightly and decides to just go with it. If this is what Sam needs right now, he isn't going to stop him from getting it and grabs one of the remaining pillows to set it down by the uninjured shoulder of Sam's large, warm, and furry body. Sam sniffs at him as he sets things up, the large snout covered in velveteen soft fur, nuzzling Dean's cheek playfully.
Hey, nobody said anything about nuzzling.
Dean jokes without any heat and looks at Sam's moosey face. Before Sam can move his head away, big, strong arms wrap around his neck, and Dean buries his face into the furry body while Sam hooks his large head over and down Dean's back, hugging back as best a moose can. Dean does absolutely not snuggle up against the warm body next to him in sleep or share a blanket with the moose. The rest he gets that night is better than it has been for a long time, with the knowledge that Sammy will be fine and the sense of safety the bunker gives them both since their grandfather helped them find it. Sam also does not rest his warm, furry head on Dean's back while he sleeps to assure himself that they are both safe and sound after a frustrating and yet almost cathartic day fighting those two witches and their zombie mom. Yes, Rowena was misguided and power hungry, but they had connected today. And well, if she turned him into a moose to let out her frustrations at still not having the grimoire, he'd take that over her attack dog spell any day. Sam wakes up before Dean, realizing with disappointment that he is still stuck in a large furry moose body. He snorts out his frustration and realizes that his head is full on resting across Dean's back, who is gently snoring and sleeping beside him. Dean's side, in turn, is pressed right up against Sam's body, the two of them sharing the blanket from Dean's bedroom. Sam feels, for lack of a better expression, more attuned to his much larger than normal animal body as he can feel and sense all his limbs now, whereas yesterday it all felt only half connected. He figures getting a good night's sleep did the trick and allowed his brain to build all the neural connections to fit with his new physical body. Given how cozy his brother looks, Sam decides to settle back down and rest his head on the pillow pile Dean made for him the night before. And with that, he dozes off once again. Dean is the one to wake next and finds himself warmer than he normally feels waking up, realizing that he is snuggled in and up against Moose Sammy. He was fully ready to drop a joke about their brotherly snuggle fest with Sam back in human form, but it seems the magic has not yet worn off. He gingerly removes himself from under the shared blanket and makes his way to the washrooms to relieve himself. He hates to have to leave the cozy warmth behind. No, Dean Winchester doesn't cuddle, but he's not one to say no to it either. He starts the coffee maker and sits down with his laptop at the kitchen table. There are a few things he wants to research, all of them moose-related. What do moose eat and drink? Plants, woody plants, twigs, and leaves. What is the average size and weight of a moose bull? 1,400 pounds, 6 feet at the shoulders. Dean chuckles as he figures out these details. Sam is bigger in every shape, even as a moose. And even the diet matches somewhat with Sam preferring a healthier diet with far more plant content than Dean, preferring egg white omelets and salads when he can get them. When the coffee is ready, he pours himself a cup, black, and sips it carefully, closing his eyes to savor the taste that hits just right, like a warm hug from within. Dean wanders back over to the library, second cup of coffee in hand, and Sam looks endearing while he sleeps. His large snout, half buried under one of the blankets. Dean snaps a few pictures on his phone, wanting to commemorate this moment and show Sam. The bandage on his hurt shoulder is clean with no blood seeping through it. The smell of Dean's coffee rouses Sam, and his eyes open slowly, regarding Dean interestedly.
Sorry, Sam Moose. I don't believe moose are meant to drink coffee.
As if on cue, a hungry growl sounds from Sam's stomach. Dean starts pondering what he'd read this morning. He could go and collect a bunch of branches and bring them to the bunker, but what if they could get Sam outside instead? He figures that they could exit through the garage. The hallway leading there had one small three-step stair that Sam, if he had better control of his legs, could manage in one fell swoop. Also, he knows Sam needs to go pee or go number two at some point, and going into the bunker's washrooms was out of the question. He wouldn't fit through the door. Sam yawns, drawing his big maw open wide, and then, with much more grace than the night before, pulls himself up onto 4 feet beside the nest.
Whoa, hey, someone has gotten the hang of walking on 4 legs.
Dean says happily as he pats Sam on the shoulder, same as you would a horse to compliment it for doing a good job. Sam bellows and grunts in affirmation, nodding his head happily up and down.
Sammy, how do you feel about going outside? According to the internet, moose survive on a diet of leaves, branches, and generally a plant diet.
Sam snorts at that, probably finding the same humor in it that Dean had this morning.
Willow, aspen, birch, maple, pine, cherry, or ash trees are preferred for maximum nutrition. I saved a picture of each of these trees on my phone so we can identify them when we're out there.
Dean shows each tree to Sam so his brother can commit them to memory like he does with spells and case details all the time.
Let me go check on the weather first. I need to know how to dress.
Walking to the bunker's garage door ramp exit is quite a trek on foot, so he wants to be equipped for whatever conditions await them outside. It is late November, so it could really be anything out there. He takes the bunker stairs at a jog and pushes the heavy front door open and finds copious amounts of snow. Lebanon, Kansas isn't exactly known for significant snowfall, but there is about a foot of it, covering everything in a soft white blanket with a gleaming, cloudless blue sky above. It looks like Christmas Day. He takes a picture to show Sam because he'd think Dean was trying to prank him. After showing Sam the conditions outside, Dean makes his way over to a spare closet down the hallway. It's here that they keep random clothing that they use sporadically or which was left by others who'd stayed at the bunker. He's on the lookout for a beanie or something else to keep his head warm while they're outside. Unlike his brother's floppy hair, Dean's short haircut does nothing to keep his ears warm. He finds a pair of pink fluffy earmuffs and a fluffy, warm-looking hat, complete with a white rim around the edge, red fluffy mane part of the hat, and a round white pom-pom on top. He takes it with him and puts on 3 layers of everything before pulling on a military-style winter coat that likely stems from the original men of letters in the 50s. It swamps him a bit lengthwise, but feels cozy and warm. He puts the hat on and makes his way back to Sam. Sam snorts and shakes his massive head as if giggling and shaking with laughter.
Not all of us have a furry onesie like yourself, Sammy.
Sam leans in and nuzzles at Dean's Santa hat and down his cheek. The snout of the massive animal feels gentle and soft. Dean realizes again just how massive Sam is in animal form.
So, I figure we can get you through the walkway to the garage and out the access ramp. You look like you got much better control of your limbs, so the 3-step stair shouldn't be an issue.
As if to demonstrate his agility, Sam does a moosey happy dance, lifting all 4 of his feet one after the other in quick succession while bellowing loudly.
All right, let's go.
Their only collateral is the top of one doorframe and a painting that Sam pushes off its hanger on the way. After a short 10-minute walk, they are out in the open. The ramp from the bunker's garage opens up to a forested area. Just about 300 feet into the forest, they find a large clearing about 300 feet in diameter. Sam is off in a heartbeat, racing in that floating way that moose run with and bounds through the powdery snow, throwing up snow clouds in his wake as he races first in a straight line, then in a zigzag pattern simply because he can. If Sam had a human face, he'd be laughing excitedly right now and squealing with joy. He plops down into the snow and makes a snow moose, moving his legs and antlers back and forth in it. Dean loses sight of him when he does that, as he's behind a small embankment on the far side of the clearing. Patting down the pockets of his coat for his phone, Dean's hands come across something different and quite useful. A looking glass of some sort that was in one of the coat's pockets. He adjusts it for sharpness and holds it up to his eye. And, to his amazement, the thing not only shows him all that he can see with his naked eye, but also shows him Sam, as if he were looking through a thermal imaging camera. He could see the yellow, orange, and red outline of Sam's moose body, and he could also see things that should be obscure beyond the trees. He holds the looking glass in his hands and finds tiny markings of snowflakes and runes on it that look very much like the type of sigils Rowena uses in spells and figures that they have magical properties. In any case, he enjoys watching Sam have a ball. He can't recall ever seeing his brother let go quite like that, simply running wild, completely carefree. He would watch him just with his eyes when he gets close enough and ultimately gives him some privacy when he can see him do his business behind some bushes, oblivious to the fact that Dean has a magic looking glass. Dean launches a number of snowballs at Sam because, honestly, when would he ever get the chance to have a snowball fight with a moose and not die doing so? Sam retaliates by slamming his body down into the snow in front of Dean, causing him to be buried in a wave of icy cold snow and falling backwards with the sheer force of snow blasted at him. A warm, soft snout tries to find him in the snow, and Sam actually gives him a moist, soggy lick on the cheek.
Ew, Sammy. Only dogs are allowed to do that.
Sam spots the Santa hat in the snow and gingerly picks it up in his mouth to hand to Dean, who replaces it on his head. Dean pats his snout with his palm and rubs it a few times. They spend a solid 2 hours outside and walk through the forest surrounding the bunker, identifying the trees that Sam should be eating from. They can't find all of them, but Sam eats and munches away on foliage and branches quite happily. Once he feels satiated, he stops and bellows at Dean with a head shake.
Awful.
Dean clarifies and gets a happy nod back from his moose.
All right. Let's go back inside, Sam. My toes are freezing cold.
Sam has an idea but isn't sure how to convey it to Dean. He nudges Dean's shoulder and waits until his big brother turns to him. They are quite a ways out from the bunker, and he figures if he carries Dean, they would make it back much faster than walking at human speed. Dean watches him attentively, and Sam nudges his snout into Dean's tummy, then points his snout at his back and repeats the motion a few times. Dean doesn't clue in right away until Sam goes down to the ground and does it again.
You want me to climb on top of you?
Dean asks incredulously. On one hand, he really wants to. On the other hand, the thought of riding a wild animal, even if it is his magically transformed brother with a shoulder height of over 6 feet, frankly scares him. He does, however, worry about how far they are from the bunker and can feel the tiredness of his limbs. Neither of them is really used to walking in a foot of snow at any given time. Sam doesn't seem to show any signs of exhaustion, though, but then he temporarily is an animal built for such environments. After a few moments of consideration and hopeful hazel moose eyes looking at him, Dean walks the few steps to close the distance between them and carefully climbs up on Sam's back, avoiding the injured shoulder as he does, and grasps two fistfuls of fur to keep himself up there. Once he has his legs locked around Sam's body, like he would when riding a horse, he teases Sam with a,
"Giddy up, moose."
Dean does not at all release a completely manly squeak when Sam lifts himself up off the ground in a swaying motion, rear legs first, followed by the front. He turns his head around to look at Dean to make sure he's okay and receives a gentle pet to the side of his face for his efforts.
"I'm good, Sam. Let's go home and get warm."
Sam walks at first and then trots across the large clearing as they swiftly make progress back to the bunker. Dean is holding on and keeps gently running his fingers through Sam's fur, still in awe that he is riding a flipping moose through a winter wonderland outside of their bunker. It feels like a Christmas miracle, even though it's still weeks to go until the holidays. He dismounts from Sam by lifting his leg up and over and slowly sliding himself down the side of Sam's large body. He can't help but hug his brother, camouflaging it as a necessary way of balancing himself when his feet have solid ground under them again. Sam's soft muzzle runs down his back as he is fully aware of how touch-starved Dean is, for once, taking a little bit of something for himself. They stroll all the way back to the garage and cautiously make their way through the passageway from there back to the main rooms of the bunker. After taking off the big winter coat and boots, the Santa hat is still firmly in place because, screw it, Dean was feeling festive. He figures they could sit down and watch a movie together, but there isn't really any seating arrangement that works unless he moves the nest somewhere else. It is at that moment that he recalls the massive dark red leather couch in the far corner of the library. It faces a shelf of obscure plant magic volumes and makes that section of the library into a bit of a sequestered nook. Neither brother usually uses it much, preferring to sit in a chair at the war room table, and for sleeping, they each have their own room, of course. The couch is a beast built from solid lumber that is stained a dark brown and polished to a sheen with dark red upholstery. Right beside it is a wrought iron open shelf unit that holds four of the softest looking red and green plaid wool blankets. Dean runs his fingertips across one of them to test the softness and can't wait to wrap up in one. The couch was about 1.5 times as large as a normal couch, with four massive seat cushions side by side, and the depth is about 5 feet. Dean empties the center shelf and carefully stacks the books on the floor to make room for Sam's laptop, which has a slightly bigger screen than his, so that he and Sam can watch a movie together. He figures that his brother is quite eager to pass the time until he transforms back into his human form, and what better way to spend 2 to 3 hours than to watch a movie? He ponders how they would select a movie to watch, since Sam can't exactly tell him what he feels like. Dean would just about watch anything if it gave him an excuse to cuddle into Sam's fur once more. And no, Dean is not a cuddler. Never was. Never will be. He has, however, always been generous with hugs and cuddles with his baby brother when he was scared as a kid. Be it because of their dad, the monster under his bed, or a nightmare. Being able to be close to someone just for the sake of comfort and sleeping with no expectations of sexual prowess or the, do I stay or sneak out in the morning, thought process is nice.
Sammy.
He yells over his shoulder once he draped two of the gigantic blankets across the backrest of the couch to make it much more cozy than the leather upholstery on its own. Sam's laptop is all set up on the emptied shelf across from the couch and set to their favorite streaming service.
Come here.
Sam is trotting into the room to find Dean standing proudly with his hands on his hips, giving him a hopeful smile that makes his eyes crinkle.
What do you think, Moose? Movie night?
Sam snorts and bellows happily before he nuzzles into Dean's shoulder gently with his large snout, a clear nod of approval.
I have no clue who built this thing, but I would put money on it that they had this moment in mind when they did.
Dean flops down on one end of the couch, Santa hat bouncing as he does so. Sam stands behind him for a moment and looks at the back of his head fondly. His brother has made this whole turn into a full-fledged wild animal experience so much easier on him than Sam could have ever imagined. He couldn't have asked for a better big brother than the man sitting right there on that ridiculously large couch in their supernaturally warded bunker. He slowly wanders up to the couch behind Dean and rests his large head ever so softly on one of Dean's shoulders, his snout coming to rest on Dean's midsection, and he makes sure to nuzzle against Dean's 5 o'clock shadow stubbled cheek. He can feel Dean incline his head toward him ever so slightly, and then feels warm, gentle hands run through the fur at the side of his head and over the velvety snout around his nostrils. Dean just holds him there, and Sam lets him. He can feel the tension seep out of Dean's body, little brother giving big brother something he would never admit to needing, and certainly would never ask for out loud. A hug. No funny business, just family being affectionate with each other to show that they care, that they are seen. They stay just like that for a good long while until Dean clears his throat and Sam snorts in response to slowly make his way around the edge of the couch, excited to try it out in his moose form.
Make yourself comfortable, Sammy. I'm gonna go grab a few things. Can't have a movie night without snacks.
Dean walks out of the library towards the kitchen, Sam figures. He eyes the couch warily and excitedly. The blankets Dean spread out on it look soft and comfortable. He decides to place his front legs on it first, kneeling on the cushion one over from where Dean just sat. The couch doesn't budge, nor does he hear any ominous creaking sounds that would indicate catastrophic structural failure. Once settled on his front legs, he lifts his hind legs one by one onto the comfortable blanket-covered surface and folds them in, curled up and slightly staggered. He rests his head flat out on the couch cushion that would be Dean's seat and just sits there content, happy, and relaxed. Not being able to talk has almost been a blessing to him. He finds that he has been able to focus externally more. Racing around in the snow was the most liberating thing he'd done for himself in a very long time, and it set off a level of exhilaration that he last remembered having when he and Dean set off fireworks back in 1996. Dean returns after about a quarter hour and sees Sam curled up on the couch. His head flattened on the cushions, only his massive antlers and the top of his back visible. He walks around to the front of it and shows his treasures to his brother, whose eyes go wide and his head perks up with Dean's arrival. Moose snacks for you and a bucket of water. In his hand, Dean has a medium-sized wooden box that is filled to the brim with branches and leaves from birch trees. He had noticed earlier that Sam seemed to like these species of tree the best, so he picked up a bit of extra while Sam settled on the couch. In his other hand is a large, clean bucket of water for Sam to drink out of if he gets thirsty. Sam bellows happily and nuzzles Dean's hand after he puts both things down within his head's reach on the floor in front of him. Be right back. And with that, Dean jogs off one more time and comes back with snacks and a beer for himself, placing them on the little end table. Before he sits down, he puts one of the blankets over Sam's fuzzy body, asks him if that's okay, and only when he gets a nod in return does he at last settle into his own spot on the couch. He grabs the last of the four blankets for himself and layers it across his legs and torso with a lot of extra material spread out on the floor past his feet. The top of the fuzzy material ends up loosely wrapped all the way around his neck, and all Sam can see of his brother is his face. Dean plays a game of 20 yes or no questions to figure out what Sam would like to watch, both of them settling on The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Dean doesn't veto it because it is nice and long and will therefore provide maximum cuddle time, and because he knows Sam loves the movie. Both of their snacks go completely untouched as they slowly but unerringly move closer to each other, Sam's head resting on the couch cushion, soft snout nudging at Dean's thigh, while he in turn slowly starts to lean towards Sam as the movie goes on. Dean's physical exhaustion is catching up with him, a slow ache starting in his legs from wading through the snow for hours and riding a moose for a solid 15 minutes. Dean forgoes the top portion of his blanket cocoon to grab and lean on Sam's furry neck, his feet curled beside his hips toward the end of the couch, leaning up and onto Sam a bit. He is only half watching the movie with his head resting on top of Sam's uninjured shoulder, which in turn gets gentle scratches and pets from Dean's fingers. It is like that that they both fall asleep. When Sam wakes up a few hours later, he is decidedly human and completely naked on account of Moose not wearing any clothes. His body is intertwined in a tangle of limbs with Dean's on the massive couch. The movie has long ago finished with the streaming service asking if they were still there. He carefully extricates himself from his brother's grasp, which, now that he is his normal size again, was around Sam's middle with Dean's head resting square in the center of his back. The fact that Dean doesn't wake speaks volumes about how tired he must have been when he went to sleep. Sam holds his own blanket up around himself for modesty and makes sure Dean is tucked in before he pads down the hallway to grab a pair of sweats and a comfy, long-sleeved shirt before heading back to Dean. They fight evil and monsters that most people will never even learn about in their entire lifetime, and they are literally the only family each of them has left in this world. With that sobering thought in mind, Sam re-entangles himself with Dean on the couch so that his big brother is resting sideways against him in a perfectly brotherly way. Dean can chew him out for cuddling later, but somehow Sam knows he actually won't. Not this time. The end.